Ladies and gentlemen, if you know the answers to these questions, you've got it. You're on the inside track. Why are pitchers poor managers? What's happened to catchers? Do ballparks make a difference? This is Fred Hessler. You'll hear the answers to these questions and more with the men who know, those who make the sports headlines. For this is the Inside Track. And now, tape recorded, the Inside Track to Al Lopez, Pat O'Brien, and Zeke Zarilla, with yours truly, Fred Hessler. One of the American League's new managers is a veteran major league catcher and one of the best of them all, Al Lopez. Talk to any catcher of his era and they'll tell you that for finesse, for handling pitchers, Al Lopez has no peer. At the ballpark, we talk to Lopey, as his friends know him. We ask him several key questions, like why pitchers don't make good managers and why catching prospects seem to be so slim. Al, we said, why aren't there more catching prospects?
Well, I think that the kids are getting smarter.
How do you mean that?
Well, catching, as you know, is a tough job, and I don't think they give the catcher the deserving credit that he deserves. And therefore, the kids rather go out and play the outfield or the infield, and if they are pretty good hitters, I think they should, because that's where the money is when you're hitting. There's been very few catchers that have been high-salaried ball players. With the exception of Bearer, I imagine, and Mickey Cochran and Dickey and those fellows. Hartnett got pretty good money. The rest of the fellows, I didn't think, got the money that they should have got.
I think Hartnett and some of these fellows got the money because they could also give that ball a long ride.
They were pretty good hitters. You said it.
Do you think that in baseball today that the managers are still looking for hitting catchers rather than the overall catching ability?
Well, if you can get a catcher that can catch and besides catch hit, that's quite a help to your ball club.
You're pretty well fortified in that department this year, aren't
you? Yes, we're lucky. We have a fellow like Keegan, who's a very fine catcher, and also we came up with Bertie Tebbets, who's also a very good catcher.
And as far as the catchers in baseball today, I want to get your opinion. Who do you consider the top catchers in the trade? Now, this is not from a hitting standpoint. Let's just discount the hitting entirely, Al.
Well, all around for catching without hitting, I think I'd have to go for Jim Hegan, because he can do everything pretty good. But you can't take it away from that Yogi Berra. He's a pretty good catcher, too. He's improved 100% since the last time I saw him.
He's pretty good at the microphone, too. You know that? He puts on a good show.
I never heard him.
Yogi does all right in his typical way, you know. And you know what it is as well as I do. Now, here's another angle. There are more catchers managing ball clubs today than anything else. I think more than... I don't think we have any pitchers in the managerial end of things. Why is it that catchers seem to fall naturally into the manager's jobs?
Well, I think it's because when you're catching, you're kind of directing the whole club. It's like the quarterback on a football team. Your call signs, you can see where the infield's playing, where the outfield's playing, and you got to go accordingly with the way they're playing. And also, you got to kind of carry the pitcher. I don't mean carry him, but just call for pitches that the pitcher has confidence in that pitch. I always told the pitcher that if I did call for a pitch that he didn't have any confidence in, to please shake me off, because I'd rather call for something that he had confidence in. A lot of times you get a pitcher with his thoughts in between, and he don't know whether he'd want to throw the pitch or not, and I don't think it's a very good pitch. He's undecided, and he forgets to put his stuff on the ball.
I've asked this of other managers. I'd like to get your idea on what guides your decision as to when to jerk a pitcher. That's one of the toughest jobs for a manager, I think, is when a pitcher's in trouble out there. What decides, in most cases, as a general rule? I know there are exceptions to everything.
Well, you're right about that's being one of the toughest decisions you've got to make. You've just got to watch a fella and see if he's either wild or if he's getting hit hard or if you don't think he has his stuff. You've got to watch all those angles. And I've never yet gone out to take a pitcher out that he hasn't said to me. He says, let me pitch to one more man.
And that is knowing whether that one man's going to belt that home run that'll win the ballgame for the other
team.
That
one man always gets you in trouble.
And that's the inside track to manager Al Lopez of Cleveland. In Notre Dame's proud football history, there is no name more revered, more famous, more beloved than the immortal Knute Rockne. Some years ago, movie actor Pat O'Brien portrayed Rock in a fine motion picture called Knute Rockne All-American. At a Notre Dame gathering, O'Brien repeated a scene from that picture, a scene he has done many times, a scene that typifies a great moment in Notre Dame history.
And now, if you want to go back in memory for just a few short seconds, I've interpolated to this extent the gift. Now, you must overlook the fact that this all didn't happen in continuity. But to bring you closer to Rock, if you'll close your eyes and try and remember nostalgically the great man that we're paying tribute to tonight, here he is, as I saw him in the picture. And the GIP situation, I've incorporated as a part of the scene. All right, man. Everybody up. Everybody up. All right. We're starting a new season today. We've got a tough schedule ahead of us, but we're used to that in Notre Dame. Now, let's get this straight from the start. I don't want any of you sport high school stars to think you're any better than anyone else. That goes for you Lettermen, too. Any boy here who thinks that all he has to do is run, pass the ball, or kick and make the team, turn your suit tonight. Turn it in tonight. You can't make the team here. Now, I'll expect you to maintain a high average in your studies. You didn't come to Notre Dame just to play football. 10 years from now, the public will have forgotten even the best of you. Remember this. Football is a place only for those with alert minds. Alert minds. If you're not on the upbeat, turn your suit tonight. Turn it in tonight. And remember this. The most essential thing in football today is blocking. Blocking. When you hit a man, cut him down like a sack of wheat. Now I'm going to tell you something that most of you here are too young to know. Most of you here don't remember a boy by the name of George Gipp. Truly a great All-American. I was with him when he died. When he was going out, he looked up at me and he said, "Rock, Rock, I'm not afraid. Honest, I'm not. But coach, someday when the going is tough and the boys aren't getting the breaks, tell them to go out and make just one for the Gipper. I don't know where I'll be then, Rock. But I'll know about it. And I'll be happy." All right, I want the backfield to hit that line. Right side. Left side. Left. Left. Right. Right. Left. I want you down that field. Right down that field. They can't stop us. Nobody can stop us. I want you to go. 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 For Notre Dame.
In baseball, it's interesting to follow a baseball player from ballpark to ballpark. In one park, he's a 300 hitter. In another, just another player. To get an idea of a ball player's reactions, we talk to Al, better known as Zeke Zarilla. Since Zeke has made a home park shift on three major league occasions, since he's been a consistent 300 hitter, we figured Zeke would give us a real inside track. Zeke, we said, how about it? Does Comiskey Park make a difference to you?
No, because I'm a type of hitter. I don't hit home runs. I get my share, but I don't hit like these big fellas do. And a big ballpark helps me just because I scatter my base hits all over.
That's what I figured, that the Comiskey Park would be a pretty good switch for you, actually. How about Fenway Park? Now, it doesn't make any difference to you, but it is a problem for a left-handed hitter, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
a home
run
hitter now,
yeah,
I'm talking about.
It's a long right field, and you gotta really hit the ball real exceptionally hard to hit it out of there, because the average home run in that park is about 380.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's got to go over. So you got to hit about 390.
Don't you usually have a breeze coming against you there, too, with the right field at Fenway?
Yeah, it's it, uh, It's about half. Halftime blows in and halftime blows out, so it evens itself up.
Now, as far as Comiskey Park is concerned, of course, I don't think you get much help anywhere out there, do you?
No, the wind's funny there. Sometimes you think it's blowing in, you hit a ball, and it carries out. It's hard to say what the wind's going to do because it shifts. It goes in circles.
How about playing the outfield now, Zeke? Do you mind where you play? What has been your principal pasture?
Well, I've been playing right field for the last 3 or 4 years, but I have played center a lot and left. One year I played them all. One day I played left, one day I played center, then right, and moved all over.
Mm-hmm.
So one outfield is the same as the other, as long as you get used to it. I mean, get in the habit of playing it, you can shift over. There's no reason one outfielder can't move around.
And there are a few of the boys that seem to like one particular guard.
Yeah, well, you get in the habit of playing one position, and you know how the ball's going to act on certain balls hit off the bat. Like you're playing right field, the ball usually goes towards the line. So you get in the habit of that, and you know what the ball's going to do when it hits hard or soft.
I'm going to ask you what is more or less of a stock question, and that is, as far as pitchers in the American League are concerned, the ones you think are particularly rough, and once in a while there may be some that are particularly rough on you.
Well, that's a hard question because there's so many real good pitchers up there. I mean, you take each club's got 2 or 3 real good pitchers, and, well, each club's got their outstanding pitcher like Lemon and Wynn and Feller and... On Cleveland, they're all exceptionally hard to hit. I mean, you don't have no easy touch up there because you got a good pitcher every day and a relief pitcher good every day. But all your good pitchers that win in 15 games up, they're all rough.
How about your old teammates, the Red Sox? Do you pick them for the 1951 pennant?
Well, everybody picks them. I mean, you don't win it on paper, but I don't say who's going to win. I mean, when you all start off even, everybody's got a chance because you never know what's going to happen in this game of baseball.
You've had some pretty exciting series there. What was it that the Yankees seemed to have on you in that final day?
They probably had more pitching, which they have. They have a well-balanced ball club, and they have more pitching to throw at you every day. And they've got pitchers every day. They're all real good. There's no weak spot in that pitching staff.
There sure wasn't a weak spot in the Boston Red Sox batting order either.
If we had their pitching staff, we'd have walked in. Because you take the fellas who win 18, 20 games, you take 3 or 4 of them, win 18, 20 games, and the other fellas going to pick them up for 4 or 5 games, you're going to walk in. You got that power.
I was going to ask you one final thing of that is, do you think these trades that have happened over the past year are going to change the picture as far as the pennant races are concerned and maybe open that shuffle up a little more wide open?
Well, it's going to be a wide open race. I mean, your trades always helps the ball player most of the time because they get new little life because they figure... If other ball clubs want you, you're more valuable to them, and it gives you a little lift of your plan. You want to, I don't know what it is, but they bear down hard. They always bear down, but it just seems like they want to show more, and they have to because they usually go pretty good. All these trades, they help each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one club gets a trade, they help them, and the other club, the other fella helps them. So it evens up like baseball always does.
And that's the inside track to Al Lopez, Pat O'Brien, and Zeke Zorilla with yours truly, Fred Hessler. Don Ferris was at the organ. Listen again for the answers to leading sports questions with the men and women who know, those who make the sports headlines. For this is the Inside Track. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.